You guys, we have the new must-have for the gym.
That's assuming they go to the gym.
Rude!
Of course, we are talking about Purrasso, the authentic Italian shave, but this time, we are obsessing over the cologne wipes. 6 wipes come in a pack, and it's the most convenient way to wear fragrance on the go, offering freshness anytime, anywhere.
I love keeping a couple in my gym bag so I can refresh before going to my next destination or home to Marco.
Oh, that's cute. Well, aren't you the sweetest?
I am.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Mm-hmm.
For once.
Uh-huh.
The cologne tissues come in Purrasso's signature fragrances, Wood and Spice, Azure Lime, and Cypress and Vetiver.
Shop the cologne tissues and fragrance at Purrasso-USA.com. That's Purrasso-USA.com.
Yes, and remember, a swipe of freshness anytime, anywhere. You can also use the offer code RELATIONSHIP20 at checkout so that you can get 20% off of your purchase today. That's Purrasso-USA.com. RELATIONSHIP20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase today. We'll see you guys in a bit.
This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
It is literally the middle of March already.
We have now passed the Ides of March.
Yes, yes, we did. Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Happy Woo Woo Wednesday.
How art thou?
I'm good. How are you?
I am hanging in there.
Barely?
Barely. I cannot believe it's already March. It's in, I don't know, the month is going by so effing quickly.
It is. The year is going by so effing quickly. Yeah. It's already a fourth of the way done.
Yeah, it's insane. I'm dying, but it's good. I'm happy. I can't complain. You had a birthday.
I did indeed.
Happy birthday again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a lovely birthday.
Did you celebrate the way you wanted to?
I did. Good. I enjoyed it very much. It was a good one, as they have all been recently.
For sure.
Thanks mostly to my husband.
I'm kind of amazing. We also...
And humble.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for. We also wanted to wish, because we didn't get to do it, my mother had a birthday on the 7th. My brother had a birthday on the 13th. So we want to wish everybody a happy birthday in the month of March.
Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday. That didn't really go the way I wanted it to, but, good. I'm glad everyone's having a good old time.
Yeah. How have you been?
Good. I had an appointment. So I've been having like leg problems. I think everyone knows that this is how I ended up finding out about the kidney cancer situation. So I've been having leg problems. So I just had my second epidural injection where they're like injecting cortisone into my body and like a steroid to try to hopefully make me in less pain than what I'm at right now. So that's been interesting. Let me tell you guys right now, that is not a fun shot.
No. Of all the shots you could have, that is the least fun.
No, it's not cute.
That and when they pulled spinal fluid out, that one's pretty awful too.
I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. So that's been a very little interesting situation. But because I'm determined to feel good these days, I'm going to continue. And make sure that
I do what you got to do. Follow up with those doctors. Get that treatment. Get better.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been interesting. But other than that, I've been fine. I've been keep on keeping on. Right? That's how you can do at this point.
It is indeed. And everyone has seen, you know, the news of your trimmed beard and its continued stubbliness and the progression of that god-awful mustache you insist on having.
So you have no opinion then?
None. Oh, okay. No, none at all.
fascinating. such an asshole.
That's what you look like with that mustache.
That's what you look like all the time. Anyways, with that being said, let's hop into our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week. What do you think about that there?
Let's do it.
All right. As a reminder, every week, Tony and I will pick a wonderful queer couple and highlight them as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity and perspective to the gay relationship narrative. If you and your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, or if there is a queer relationship that you admire and would like to bring to our attention, please reach out to us. Tag us on some of your adorable couples' photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Tony and I will take a look at these photos and posts and could potentially highlight you and your partner on an episode of the podcast. This week, our hashtag gay relationship goals takes us up north to the Canadians. We're so excited to highlight literally hashtag gay relationship goals that don't even need our recognition, but they're so cute.
Yeah.
That we decided to highlight them anyways because, you know, cute. And that is the relationship of Stephen and David. David is at Great Canadians. And Steven is at Great Steven. So he is at GR8STEEVEN.
Just wanted to leave a cliffhanger with that last letter.
You know what it was? Is I was like, in my mind, I was hearing Steve giving his Instagram handle with the STEE. Yeah, anyways, I'm not gonna confuse anybody, but I was like hearing that in my head, so it like really like threw me off for a second as I was doing it, because I was like, wait, am I doing this right? Anyways, David and Steven, they're adorable. First of all, they're super Canadian. They're like French Canadian too, so they're like super like Frenchy Frenchies, which is fun, which I love. But in addition to that, like, I'm pretty sure they are going for sainthood, because these guys are like skiers. They are like, one of them is a doctor or like a physical therapist for like cancer patients. They like participate in like gay events and like literally wave the gay flag. They work out.
Oh, they are giant buff daddy fuzzy men, and it's incredible.
I don't even know that I think that they're giant so much as I think
they're
that,
giant.
I mean, like, they're like super muscular, but they're like,
they're titans of men.
Okay, yeah, that's a title.
They are, look at them.
But they're like attractive too, like both of them are gorgeous, like they are, and then they're fucking in love with one another, like
very it much.
Is just, oh my god, it's just crazy, and I fell in love with them instantly. I thought they were great.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that they're, like, goofy and cute, and I don't know, like, they clearly are winning at life, but not taking it too seriously.
Well, there is a huge goof factor with them, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are, like, literally, like, there's a picture of them where Steven literally has, like, an apple in his mouth, and then David's caption is, "And here is the apple of my eye." And oh, I'm like,
dear.
Like, how cheesy, but how cute at the same time. Like, I love it. So, I'm just really into them.
And I always find it fascinating when there's the juxtaposition between the tropical adventures and the skiing adventures. And they do that all the time quite well.
Yeah.
Which is really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a big fan. And they're bearded.
They're bearded, which I am envious of. So, from what I've gathered, David is the fox and Steven is the dolphin. And I say that because there is a post that was posted on February 14th of 2019 where David says, "Beautiful, romantic, yet so elegant couple lads." Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what I was reading. That's a comment. You guys, please forgive me for that. I was like, wait, that is totally not what I meant to read. Anyways, it says, "I don't give a fox who knows. I dolphinately love you." And it says, "Happy Valentine's
Day." Wow. Yeah.
How cute is that? I mean, look, it is such a dad ridiculous joke, but I just think it is adorable. Mm. And he has a mustache in the picture, and I think it's like great.
They are just fantastic. They look like they would be a lot of fun to hang out with.
Totally. I mean, I think I would be a teeny bit intimidated because, like, they would have to meet us later because they'd have to go to the gym before they could come hang out with us.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, like by the time they got to us at like about 9 o'clock, they would be fun.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys are great and we're completely obsessed with you.
Huge
you
fans. So love for, your love.
Oh my God. Love your love. Thank you so much for being adorable. You all can follow them on Instagram. Like I said, they have a kajillion followers between the two of them, but you are more than welcome to add to
join
it.
The throngs.
Yeah, for sure. And they are, David is at Great Canadians with an S at the end, and it's literally spelled out the way that you would spell it. And then his, hers, been partner, lover of his life is Steven, and that is at Great Steven, and that is GR8STEEVEN. And that is on Instagram. Like I said, double tap their pictures, follow them, check them out, love them, fall in love with them the way that we do. And again, they're also French too. So they like speak French, and I'm just like obsessed with their French Canadians, which I just think is even cooler.
You are obsessed.
Bravo, divas. Bravo. I love it. So anyways, we are going to take a short break. But when Tony and I come back, we are going to try to solve the world's problems. Critelli style.
Hey, hey, hey. Hello, listeners. It's your favorite podcast host, Tony.
And Marco.
And we are here with some exciting relationship news.
The podcast is growing. I don't know if you guys knew this. And every season, the search for ways to deliver more relationship content becomes a fun little goal for us.
And every season, with you, our listeners in mind, we try to come up with other platforms that help give you access to all the amazingness that is the podcast.
That is why we are so thrilled to finally announce the launch of our very own relationship podcast website.
Yay! Stop what you're doing and visit podrelationship.com right now and see what we've been up to.
In addition to the weekly podcasts that you all love so very much, Relationship on IGTV and YouTube, and our social media presence on Instagram, Facebook, and the Twitter, you can now catch us on podrelationship.com for even more relationship content.
Read our new relationship blog with thoughts and updates on the topics we've discussed on the podcast and our own account of what we've learned and how we are applying it in our very own relationship.
You can submit listener situations right there on the website, which is like revolutionary. You can air out your relationship dirty laundry on the page and press submit. All situations come directly to us and make everything so much easier for you.
And finally, sign up for our newsletter and be in the know for all upcoming podcast episodes and all relationship content and events.
Real talk, y'all. This website is a huge labor of love, but it's also a work in progress. If there is anything else you'd like to see on the website, please feel free to reach out. It is as much your website as it is ours.
Again, thank you all for making the podcast what it is today and what it can be in the future. We appreciate your support and love for what we are doing and get so excited about sharing more of ourselves with all of you.
So, visit podrelationship.com when you have a second and check out our relationship podcast website. We will see you all very soon.
Bye. Bye.
So every once in a while, we end up reading an article that I personally feel like is speaking in my voice.
Hmm.
And today I feel as though we stumbled upon that article.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so today Tony and I are talking, the topic today is why can't I find a man? Which is a very interesting article because look, you know, we've said this numerous times. I'm sure everyone is playing a drinking game at this point, but you know, based off of this topic, but Tony and I have been together for 10 years. And we've kind of been out of the dating circle and the being single cycle for a really long time at this point. And there are a lot of people out there, very, very good people out there that are having a very challenging time finding relationships. And I'm sure they're seriously sitting back and they're looking at their lives and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why can't I find somebody? Why are people stupid? Why do people suck? Like, why is this so challenging for me? And it's a very valid question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so every once in a while, I mean, you and I were literally just talking this morning about the problems. I was talking about it in the form of, like, why we do what we are doing.
Right.
And how there are a lot of things that go on behind us. And, like, why are we having the conversation surrounding monogamy? Why are we doing this podcast and things of that nature? But then we read this amazing article, which I think was brilliant. Probably one of the best articles I think we've read in a really long time, maybe. And this article literally echoed everything that I was saying without even really realizing that this article existed.
Mm.
And I thought that it was incredible. No?
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. So why, I mean, if you had somebody that came to you and they were like, I'm having a really hard time finding a man, why can't I find a man? What would you say to them?
It's you.
It's you.
Yep.
Why would you say that?
Because I think it always is.
Interesting.
I think as human beings, we are incredibly gifted at getting in our own way and sabotaging ourselves and being afraid not of getting what we want, but of being able to get everything we want. I think we are constantly scared by how powerful we actually are.
Huh.
Yeah. And I truly believe that that is one of the things that you are here on this planet to overcome.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very fascinating. I think that is a huge part. I would probably think it was like 60% of the reason why people are incapable of finding a partner. I think a lot also has to do with the people. I think people suck. I think that there is a lot that goes on with people that make it very, very challenging. And a person's inability to properly meld with us is very prominent, and it exists. And I think that it is also something to consider. And I think that's like maybe 20% of the problem. And then I think the other 20% of the problem is effort, right? Like your ability to actually put forth the legwork, whether it's legs in the air work or, you know, actual legwork and like going out there and actually doing it, which I think also fits within like your ability to, you know, within you, like, are you capable of doing it? So I don't disagree with you there, but interesting. I think you think that people sabotage themselves more than anything.
Correct.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've ever sabotaged yourself
for
an opportunity?
All the time.
Why?
So, I mean, I think this article says it quite plainly, right? So the real truth is I am unlovable. So as gay people, we've been taught that for a very long time, that there is something wrong with us, that there is something other with us, that that we just don't deserve full happiness. So either repress it completely or do it quietly on the side, but definitely you can't get married and you can't do anything like beyond that. And certainly you can't have a healthy, fulfilling relationship. Like it can't be like what it is for other people. And then as this article, which by the way is on Psychology Today and is by a therapist.
Well, I was going to say, let's like talk about the article. We read an article on psychologytoday.com. Michael C. LaSala is a PhD and he is a gay and lesbian well-being columnist, if you will. This article was written in September of 2014 and it's Gay and Can't Find a Partner? Learn how gay men can overcome the hurdles and find Mr. Right. So please continue what you were saying.
No, I was just saying that that's the root of it. And when you have had even like confounding that worse with the relationship that you had with your own father, which is the first time you learn about your value as a man in another man's eyes, you know, that can just make it that much worse.
Absolutely. So Michael LaSala begins the article by saying, okay, so you're gay and you want to find a partner and eventually a husband, someone with whom to share your life. However, you just can't seem to meet the right guy or make the right connection. You keep coming up empty-handed, stymied in your efforts, no matter what you try. all of this talk of legalized marriage just seems to make things worse, adding pressure from friends, family, and even yourself. And then he just goes on to say that, you know, you may think it's possible for gay men to have a long-term relationship. There must be some truth to the old joke. What does a gay man bring on a second date? And then the response is, what second date? Because let's be honest, gays. And then you would be ready to throw in the towel if it weren't for your best friend who met someone and is now in a happy relationship or for the past 2 years, or that middle-aged couple who live in your building and who just celebrated 25 years together with a trip to Paris. So you end up wondering, what's the matter with me? What am I doing wrong? And I think that that's very valid, right? Because we spend so much time looking at the other examples of how it all works itself out, and we literally do sit back and wonder, like, what are we doing wrong to make it not look exactly the way it's looking for other people, right? And something great. So he ends up going through and asking a few questions. Number one, which you already pretty much brought up, is the real truth is I am unlovable, which I think most gay people go through at some point in time, right? Much to your point. And as you and I had discussed earlier today, we grew up believing that because gay is so wrong, that we are not supposed to in any way, shape, or form have any kind of happiness, right? We literally believe that what we're doing is absolutely wrong. And so we spend so much time going through and doing gay secretively, right? So we're hooking up with people or meeting people in dark, dank, not really good places for a long period of time. We were being arrested for being gay,
right?
And doing gay things, having sex in any capacity.
Also, even just going back to when you were younger and people would bully you for something you didn't even understand about yourself at that point.
Yeah, I mean, or even beyond that, like, you know, if you were a teeny bit effeminate or anything like that, you were getting bullied because you were effeminate. And sometimes you weren't even gay for that. You were, you know, just not as macho and or masculine as other people. And so those things were always being clocked. People were always calling you out for it. And that is, like, really painful and very hard as a human being, especially as a gay person, because you end up spending so much time thinking that what you're doing is wrong. And I think because we end up over-consuming, we end up looking for love in all the wrong places. We end up doing all of these really bad things secretively that we create a new normal in our head, right? So it's not that you're supposed to find partnership. It's that you're supposed to find quick, to the point, non-committal encounters.
Right.
To, like, make for your homosexuality, make up for it. Like, you're supposed to, that is supposed to be the defining factor behind what it is that you're doing. And that becomes very dangerous, right? Because from a psychological level, we end up not believing that we're worth anything more than these trysts.
Right. These quick little hookups and that's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair. It's not fun, right? Because we grow up looking at our parents sometimes and we see their relationships. We see our grandparents and their really extended relationships. And because we are being told that what we're doing is so wrong, we never think that we have the capability of having that.
Yeah, well, and you have to think of it, like, from a practical standpoint. Like, so you're young and you're queer, and the only other people around you who are young and queer don't know what they're doing either. And so you go out and you try to get around the young and queer people, and the only people who actually, like, teach you anything are a little bit older, and they're not really after your best interest, they're after your body. Sure. So then that sets this sort of, you know, continued pattern of, oh, so this is what it means to be gay, because the only person who ever taught you what it meant to be gay taught you that it was about sex, right? And no one has taught you differently or other or more.
Right.
So I can't have good relationships because I'm not straight, and that's where good relationships happen. So what does it mean to be gay? Oh, it means to have sex. And, like, that's what we're taught.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting because I always talk, I talked about this consistently, but I've said that, like, even when, and we've talked about this on the podcast, but even when you start getting of age to, like, hit puberty and stuff like that, the conversation surrounds, like, condoms, how your body's going to change, what all of those things look like, but no one's ever sat you down and talked about how to be a good partner.
Right.
How to like have a healthy relationship,
right.
What it means to be a good person and also attract a good person and find a good person and things like that. No one has that conversation with you. Puberty surrounds, here's what's getting ready to happen with your body. This is what sex means. This is how you create a baby. This is how you prevent creating a baby. And this, that's the beginning and end of it. But like, no one literally says like, you know what, when you're in a relationship with a person, here's how you should treat that person. And it's definitely not happening for gay people.
Mm-hmm.
No one is mentoring a young gay and teaching them what it means to be in a gay relationship and how to be a good gay partner. A partner in general, but a specifically a good gay partner,
mm-hmm.
And how to have a healthy relationship. And that's super unfortunate. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, I mean, the education we provide in our families and the difficult conversations that we are or aren't willing to have, it definitely needs to grow. And then the public education that's available is very, like you said, it's very clinical. It's, okay, boys, here's leave the room, and girls, here's what's going to happen to your body, and boys, here's what's going to happen to your body. And I always thought that was interesting, like, not to get off topic, but I always thought it was interesting that, like, why can't I learn about what's going to happen to the woman's body, and why can't she learn about what's going to happen to mine? Like, why is that not education that should be shared? And then beyond that, why can't we also be talking about not just the chemistry of what's happening, but like the fucked up shit that we do to each other and how to avoid doing it?
Right.
Like, you know?
Right, because it's like you literally are telling me that men are going to potentially try to impregnate me, but like you don't want the men to be in the room with me when we're talking about the fact that they could potentially try to.
Well, and even beyond that, like just understanding how a woman's body works, you know, what's so wrong with that?
Right. Guys are scared of periods, but it's because they are ushered out of the room when the conversation surrounding periods take place. So it's all crazy. I say all that to say that, you know, Dr. LaSala, which I like his last name, let's be honest. Literally, in one of the paragraphs says, my clients rarely initially state or even recognize that they feel unworthy of love, but their behaviors tell a different story. One telltale sign is obsessive jealousy. Once in a relationship, you may feel a constant need to control the other partner to make sure he stays connected and faithful to you. In addition, you seek never-ending reassurance, checking his cell phone, needing to know where he is at all times, demanding he tells you he loves you all the time. You get the idea. What belies, is that mm-hmm. how you say that? Belies yep. these feelings and behaviors is the fear that you are so flawed that you cannot attract and keep a partner without monitoring and controlling him, even though these behaviors ironically push him away. And it's crazy because, again, we're never taught how to properly exist in a relationship, that we don't know what comes off as needy, codependent, like unhealthy within a relationship, that we end up doing all of these things that harm the relationship instead.
Well, yeah, and we also just don't teach people how to deal with their own anxiety.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah, something simple, sitting and breathing, could take care of. We just don't do that. And so you end up doing these crazy things like chasing the person around.
Sure. The next point that he makes is, or quote that he makes, or things that are said is, it is impossible to meet the right guy. And he begins that by saying, no doubt, finding the right partner is not easy. Remember, you are looking for a life mate. The glass slipper is hardly one size fits all, and very few men will qualify. For sure, so much of the gay male world is way too focused on looks, youth, the gym, partying, and fast hookups. So searching for Mr. Right is looking for a needle in a gay stack, which I love.
Ha. Huh.
I think that's brilliant. However, feeling subconsciously unlovable or unworthy can again rear its head here through your choices. So what I thought was very interesting about this paragraph, or, you know, this idea within itself, is that, like, we really need to give ourselves the opportunity to, like, get judgment out and go out and just, like, really meet people and get to know people, because the right guy may present itself in a completely different way than what you think is going to show itself.
Mm.
And sometimes we have these like definitions of what it is that we need and or want, and it could be more than that.
I remember when I was first comfortable with dating and saying what I wanted and what I was interested in and what I didn't want. And I remember the initial conversation I had with almost everyone was, you know, when they said, you know, that question. I don't know if they still ask this question anymore, but this was always the first question on any online site was, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I guess it's such a common question that now there's like categories on the dating apps and things. So it's like friends, hookup, whatever. But I always remember saying like, you know, I'm looking for someone that I can laugh with and that I can go out and have adventures with and who wants to go to a nice dinner and, you know, who wants to hold my hand as we walk down a beach. Like, I remember saying those things. And consistently, people were shocked. Men were shocked by that response. They were like, I've never heard anything other than a great body or, you know, hot sex or blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, that's what I want. I want those things that I just said. Like, I didn't know how to respond to that.
Well, and people are so stupid because you got to remember a hot sex
comes from... Don't call people stupid.
Well, no, it is stupid because you got to remember that, like, hot sex comes from a great connection, right?
So if not always.
Hot sex usually comes from a great connection. So if you have a great connection with somebody, you're a lot more apt to being a little bit freer or a little, even if you are not looking for a relationship with somebody, but like if you get along with the person or you feel comfortable enough with them or they've made you feel comfortable enough with them that you can let loose and have those things, then you're a little bit more eager to like let yourself loose and have that fun with
sure,
those things.
Sure.
And so
you But it's not the only place that that can happen.
What do you mean?
Well, even in this article, they're talking about how, like, the random guy who looks hot that you just met has great sex, but he can't settle down. Like, you can have chemistry only with a person.
100%.
But I'm with you. Like, it's much more likely that you will have really good sex when you have a connection with the person and when you talk about what really good sex is like for both of you.
And if you both are on the same page with that. And I think that that is really important because, again, you can sit back and say to yourself, like, I'm only looking for physical at this point, but like I'm looking for somebody that I can like explore all of these physical things with. And that could, and I get along with you, I'm laughing with you, I enjoy you, I like want to be around you. And that physical attraction can like literally blossom into, that connection can blossom into a physical attraction with one another that will make you feel comfortable with one another, to make you feel comfortable enough to explore sex in a fun way. And so it could be some of the best sex that you ever had. So who knows? Anyways, I say all that to say that in this article, Dr. LaSala says, perhaps your close friends have rolled their eyes as they've watched you repeatedly make poor partner choices, trying to make husbands out of men who are unavailable. If you find yourself consistently in these patterns, perhaps you are, as the song goes, looking for love in all the wrong places. At a deeper level, this could be an indication that you don't feel worthy enough to be loved, or perhaps even more perplexing, you do not really want to be in a relationship and don't know it yet. So I think that those things are definitely worth exploring and looking a little bit deeper into. The next one is, I should be in a relationship. So this full paragraph right here, he begins it by saying, in the old days when I was coming out, being gay had more of an outlaw quality. Non-monogamy was a political statement, and gay rights advocates saw marriage as constructive, patriarchal, heterocentric, flawed, perhaps due to the 50% failure rate, and therefore not worthy of pursuit, especially in light of how gay men of the era were still getting ejected from their jobs, homes, families, and blackmailed and arrested for who they were. So I want to hit on this point a little bit because you and I were talking about this in the beginning of the podcast. We were talking about this earlier today, but this is definitely something that we have to remember, is that our experiences as gay people were mired mm-hmm. in, I don't know, like, being illegal, being not comfortable, like I think about the fact that I said to you and a long time ago that like I wasn't going to introduce my parents to any relationship that I was in until it was like fully established, because I just needed them to understand its legitimacy. How fucking stupid is that?
Right.
How stupid is that? That like as a gay person, I was not comfortable enough letting my parents know what was going on. If I was a heterosexual person and I had a relationship that lasted a month and then it just went away, it would just be a thing. No one would think twice about it.
Right.
But because I was gay, I felt like I had to prove to them that my relationship was legitimate. And so it had to exist over a year. We had to be moving in with one another. It had to look serious for me to be able to invite and involve my family into the relationship. And those things are crazy because we have been so caught up in the fact that for the longest time, being gay was illegal and it was uncomfortable and it was not right and people hated us and we had all of these things to worry about, and it's not fair.
Right.
It's not very fair. And we literally lived in that for the longest time. So the article continues to say, for sure, the pendulum has swung far in the other direction. Contrary to heterosexual fears, legal gay marriage was given the has given the institution an enormous boost in importance. Where it's legal, same-sex couples are getting married in droves, and some gay weddings are so theatrical and over the top that they can actually be intimidating. This can all translate into feelings of pressure to couple up. So the article goes on to talk about, or this paragraph in particular goes on to talk about how, like, because of what you see with people, you think that you are literally supposed to be in a relationship based off of everybody else's gay example of what it looks like.
Or just couple centrism in general.
Right. And that can become like really, really challenging, right? So if you see, I can't imagine what our friends would think about seeing our relationship, you know, 10 years together, 7 years before we got married, 3 years worth of marriage. Like, when you look at that, you're like, is that what I'm supposed to be doing?
Mm.
Like, and it looks scary, right? It could.
I mean, you and I did our own thing, so, you know, 7 years together without being married, that's a long time for some people.
It's a super long time.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are interesting. The next paragraph says, like that girl in Frozen, you need to let it go. I thought this one was very interesting.
Yeah, and it's just talking about like getting over the hurdles of your previous relationships, whether that's someone that you aren't actually over, someone who you lost, or someone who, you know, it's you just like it was a thing and now it's over, you know, yeah. Or maybe you're not separated. But what I like is that the article ends with giving you advice on how to fix these issues.
I love it. The end literally says, so how do we figure out what's getting in the way and how do we fix it? Here are some ideas.
So the first one is know thyself, right? So of course, you know, and he encourages you to say, like, is there anything in that you've read in the article so far that seems familiar? Even if it's just a little bit. So now take some time to reflect on your own behavior and, you know, get that. And also you can talk to one of your friends, your close friends, and about, you know, what these patterns might look like for you. I would agree with what he says here. Take a minute, steel yourself, and then give your friend permission to risk hurting your feelings. Mm. Because it could hurt a little now, but it will save you a lot of hurt in the long run.
Sure.
If you let them do that.
Sure.
The next one is to love thyself.
Mm.
So, again, this whole idea of like, we're not lovable, we don't deserve these things. So you really need to work on that. Some people can do it on their own and just intercept and interrupt negative self-talk. I was not one of those people and needed what he suggests next, which is therapy. And it can teach you some really simple things on how to identify how you're getting in your own way, to figure out why you're doing it, to help you find ways to love yourself better and free you up to find men who are in turn healthy and good husbands, and or to live happily single as you were meant to be. So, you know, it's sort of helping you to unpack all of this stuff, which I think is what we all actually need. I don't think it's that we don't understand. I don't think it's that we aren't enlightened beings. I don't think it's that we are blindsided by things. I think it's literally like we bump into this stuff and we don't know how to manage it. Like, we don't know how to unpack it. You stub your toe on the corner of this box that's full of your own shit, and you just like kick it out of the way. And it's like, no, you need to like feel the stub toe pain, and then you need to sit down on the floor with your box of shit and you need to go through it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great example. I love it. I really enjoyed this article.
I did too.
I thought that this article was very well written, and I think that, again, we have... I think there's such a stigma with being single, right? I think there that is. Being single is like this... It's almost as if you have the plague, right? So no one wants to be around you.
The only reason you would be single is because there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. There are so many fantastic single people out there that are single because... it's necessary, right? Self-preservation. Like, they need to find the certain kind, the right person to be with them, because their star just shines so bright that there's not a universe in which they could belong. And I love that concept.
Mm.
But much to the article's point, like, if you love yourself, Meghan Trainor has, I'm literally thinking about it right now. She has that song on her new album called Love Yourself. That I think is just so important, because if you love yourself, you know what you are worth. And that will resonate, and you will attract the right kind of person based off of that. And I think that those things are incredibly important.
Yep.
I think it is so important. But I really did enjoy this article. And don't worry, you will find someone.
Or you won't. Because you don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
And you also
but if you want to find someone, don't worry, you will. But as it said, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Can I get an amen? Thank you, Mother Rue. No, I think that is incredibly important. And so we would love to hear everybody's thoughts on this article, especially the singles that are out there. I know that there are a few of you that are struggling with the concept of finding somebody, or finding somebody that is worthy of your time and your love. So what are you struggling with? And is there anything that was in this article that resonated, that taught you a little bit about yourself that you are eager to try and figure out and find and see how it works for you?
And you know who I'd like to hear from is the people who recently did this work and have now found themselves in a better, healthier relationship. Mm. I'd like to hear from you.
Super importante. Thank you guys so much for listening to this segment. We are going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a bit.
Hello, devoted listeners.
It is your favorite podcast hosts, the Critellis, Marco
and Tony.
Y'all, we have been through it together. Might I remind you of the series of podcast episodes from the first season that sounded like the volume was turned all the way down?
Or how about the episodes from season two that didn't even air because we lost the content or had technical difficulties?
I've blocked it, but thanks for bringing it up all
over again. You're so welcome.
I appreciate you. The point is, we've been through a lot together, and every day we learn something new about ourselves and the podcast, which really makes it so much more than just a podcast we are creating. It's a community.
We are officially at the point where we need your help, community. For the podcast to continue to grow the way it has been, we'll need to enlist some assistance from our devoted relationshitters. Oh, that sounded so much better in my head.
It was really painful to hear. You can now find us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/podrelationship and become a relationship patron by giving monthly donations to the podcast for exclusive content and recognition from us.
Donate $5, $10, or $25 monthly and get exclusive content only for our patrons.
Content includes personalized thank you notes mailed to you from us, to shoutouts on the podcast, to behind-the-scenes interviews and games with our guests.
Each tier has something more special than the last, and with your generous donation, relationship will be the best it's ever been.
So go to patreon.com/podrelationship today and donate. And when you're done donating, get your friends to donate. And when they've donated, ask your family to donate. The more help, the more appreciated.
You are absolutely shameless. Again,
that money.
Mm-hmm, dollar bill. Again, we thank you all for trusting us to deliver this queer message every single week. We are proud of the work we've done so far and know that with your help, we can accomplish even more.
Again, that's patreon.com/podrelationship to become a relationship patron and our favorite person. Check out the different tiers and gifts available and figure out which one works for you. Bye. Bye.
All right, now it's time for our listener situations.
That's right. Send your relationship situations or comments to relationshipquestions@gmail.com or visit our website, www.podrelationship.com. Tony and I will read your emails here on the show and do our best to give some guidance because picture perfect, you don't need no filter. Gorgeous, make them drop dead, you a killer. Shower you with all my attention. Yeah, these are my only intentions. Stay in the kitchen cooking up, cut your own bread. Heart full of equity, you're an asset. Make sure that you don't need no mentions. Yeah, these are my only intentions.
I wish I didn't like that song.
Shout out to your mom and dad for making you. I like a little Justin Bieber every now and then. That album did not get as much attention as it should have. But it's actually not a terrible album.
I mean, I only know that song for real. I mean, I've heard the album, but that's the only one I really remember.
Really quickly, before we even move on, we want to acknowledge the coronavirus.
Coronavirus!
It's been a thing, and we are not thrilled about it.
Not at all.
But we are shut in our house because New York City, as you can hear, is loud in the background for whatever reason.
Man has a small penis.
New York City is doing its own thing, and that is what it is. But that being said, oh my God, it is so loud outside right now. That being said, we want to acknowledge and give our best to all of the people out there who are dealing with coronavirus. Because again, here in New York, it's been like super insane.
Yeah, the governor signed an executive order and closed all the restaurants, bars, movie theaters, everything.
Schools.
Well, yeah, the schools. That happened a while ago.
Most of our jobs and all of that good stuff. So it is a thing. And my God, cannot believe that like in our lifetime we are seeing like a whole other pandemic and issue.
I remember when I was in middle school and the OJ stuff happened and the ridiculous substitute teacher who was teaching our class that day said, "This is what your generation's going to be remembered for." And I remember thinking, that's so short-sighted. And since then we've had tons of things happen, including 9/11 and now the coronavirus, to name just a couple. It is incredible what can and does happen throughout one's lifetime.
Right. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So, our hearts go out to all the countries, affected by it. Yes. Shout out to you, Italy, because Italy is literally quarantined right now. China is quarantined right now. There are no flights going in and out of Paris right now. Trying to think of what the next country was that ended up having no flights coming in and out of it.
I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. I think it was Spain, actually. And so there's just a lot going on right now. But I think more than anything, we can continue to try to bring you the laughs and try to make a little bit of a lighthearted situation out of a much shitty situation. And so we really want to do our best to have fun and continue bringing you episodes. We may have to get really creative going here now, moving forward, because we might not have guests coming back.
Yeah, we ain't going to interview contaminated strangers.
Yeah, so that's going to be a whole thing. So we'll have to figure it out. So you guys are just going to really have to love our voices for a little while.
But if you're quarantined too, hopefully this will bring you some joy and you won't mind that it's just us.
Yeah. So that being said, we just wanted to make that quick little note.
Yes.
That coronavirus is not going to stop us from bringing you all. And I think more than anything, couples will definitely need to hear our voices, especially when they are locked up with one another.
So they don't murder each other.
So that they could try to figure
out. Time to practice some of what we're preaching.
They could figure out some ways to actually enjoy one another, because I know we're trying to figure it out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So That being said, what's on the docket?
Well, first of all, COVID-19 can suck all the dicks. Oh. Secondly,
how do you know that COVID-19 won't love that?
I mean, he, she, they might.
Exactly. They could be really into that.
They could. All right. We're going to do some situations. Here's the first one. Hello, Marco and Tony. I'm Mike, and my boyfriend Glenn and I have been living together in Connecticut for 6 years. We could wave to them from here.
I mean, not right now, we can't. No.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Glenn is a very hard worker, and I often have to help him to create some balance in his life. If I let him, he would work all day and night and answer emails and even take meetings on the weekends. You guys have joked that you have a similar dynamic, so I thought I'd reach out. Our problem is this. Glenn lost his job 2 weeks ago. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Since then, you'd think he would be depressed and staying in his pajamas and not brushing his teeth. But instead, he's up even earlier than when he worked. He jumps on the internet for a little while, searching for jobs, and then leaves right after breakfast. He's gone all day and often doesn't come back home until after I've returned from work and made dinner. He's meeting with colleagues and trying very hard to find another job, which I can totally understand. But he's more stressed out now than when he was working nonstop. What can I do? Should I just be patient? Should I try to take him away for a couple of days? I've tried to talk to him about this, but he's almost dismissive and says he just wants to get back to work. Please help.
I'm trying to find the problem.
Oh! Well, I mean, he's stressed.
Who's stressed?
Glenn.
How do you know that Glenn's stressed?
So here's the thing. You said you thought he might be depressed and staying in his pajamas and not brushing his teeth.
Well, he said he would think
that. He would think that, yeah. But I want to tell you that depression looks very different in different people. This is what depression looks like for him. He can't stand how uncomfortable he is right now, that it is pushing him to do all these things, like get up even earlier and work even harder to not be not working. This is what depression looks like for Glenn.
I feel like that is a very extreme reaction to what I think is a pretty normal response to losing your job.
Depression is a normal response.
Yeah, but I think that we're going the clinical route, and the man lost his job. It sounds like he's a very hard worker, and I think that more than anything, he just doesn't want to like sit on his ass and not try to work and or get his shit together. So he's like busy trying to make sure that he gets his shit together. Like, he doesn't have to be depressed or anything of that nature behind it. He probably is just trying to like get a job. It sounds like working is like breathing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoys working. And I mean, I think I would do the exact same thing. You did the exact same thing when you didn't have a job for a minute. It was hard work. It was going out. It was trying to figure out what you could do. It was pulling out applications. It was waking up, like being productive and making those things sense. Like, I think we're making a big deal out of nothing. Like, I think that could potentially, like, I think you wanting to take him away and like maybe helping him ease his mind a little bit could be good. But from what it sounds like, it's probably going to stress him out even more, because he's going to be away thinking about the money that's being spent and about his inability to be like looking for a job, and how you taking him away for a little bit prevents him from being able to find a job that much longer. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with this problem.
Well, I don't want to discount what Mike is experiencing. I think that a lot of Glenn's identity is tied to his work, and I think there's a lot of self-worth issues there. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that Glenn fancies himself the breadwinner, and that that he's lost a really important part of his identity. Like, the difference that I'm seeing here is this person is saying that things are worse than they were before. Like, they're very different. You mentioned me, and when I was, you know, out of work and looking for work, like, I wasn't getting up at the crack of dawn and disappearing on you and running around nonstop. Like, when you called me, I was present. And when you came home, I stopped looking for jobs and spent time with you. And I think that's what Mike is saying is missing right now, is this person is absent. So I would not take this person on vacation. I think that would be the worst thing you could do.
I wouldn't take him on vacation either because I think it would be great. But I also, I think it would be terrible. I think it's a terrible idea. But I think that there are just a lot of insinuations that are being made from an email that did not say, that did not give that much information. I honestly, no, you did not do that because that's not in your nature to do that. But if the script was reversed, I think I would be doing a lot of what Glenn is doing. And that is just because I have a workhorse mentality as well that allows me the opportunity to, that calls for me to do, to like hit it hard and hit the pavement because like I don't like not being in work. I don't like not contributing. I don't like that. Like I'm kind of tightly wound in that situation. But again, I think that there is a lot being assumed here. Like he doesn't have to be depressed because he's looking for a job or that he's like going out and trying to make connections and meet with people and network and do those things. I think he's being very proactive with his situation and he's trying to not cause stress on your relationship by one person's income being the only income that's coming in for the two of you, and he is not moping around and being depressed and sitting in his underwear and eating a gigantic bowl of cereal all day every day and laying on the couch and watching court TV all day because it's just not that's just not his nature. He's trying to be proactive, he's trying to keep himself going, he's trying to like do what is necessary to not be a burden on top of the entire situation. So again, the reason why I said I don't think that there's a problem in that email, like you shouted off a bunch of things that in my personal opinion, I could be completely off base here, but it sounds like you have a partner that is really trying to uphold his end of the bargain as like a partner, and he is out of work, he lost his job, and he's trying to not make his job loss become a huge factor within your relationship. So he's doing everything that's like super necessary to make sure that that is not a part of it. And you guys probably should have a conversation just to have like a check-in to see how he's doing and make sure he's okay. But at the end of the day, like he's looking for another job. Like, it doesn't sound like it sounds like he's just looking for another job.
I'm going to use your word and I'm going to say a workhorse will always be a workhorse, but some workhorses know how to be okay when there isn't a race and some workhorses don't. So as someone who I think can relate a lot to Glenn, what advice would you give to Mike? Like what can he actually do?
I would tell Mike to step off. I would tell Mike to like step off a little bit. I think that all too often what people's common mistake is that they will push their beliefs and or feelings onto other people because they think that that's the way that they're supposed to be handling the situation, and that's not fair. Because Mike might be the person that would be sitting around in his underwear on the couch watching court TV and moping and or depressed because he lost his job doesn't mean that that has to be Glenn's story. Glenn does not have to be the person that does that. Glenn could be different. And so I would tell Mike to back off and let Glenn do what he needs to do. I would have a conversation with him and do a check-in and make sure that Glenn is okay and say, like, you've been out of your job for a week or, you know, 2 weeks or however long it's been. And like, say, I know you've been going out every single day. What leads have you been following? Have you had anything that's been good? Who have you been chatting with? Kind of check in with him and see where he's at with all of this and what's going on. But like, leave it at that. Let him do what he's going to do, or like, leave him alone. Like, because it doesn't sound like there is an actual problem. Now, if you notice that he is slipping into a depression or he is going away all these hours and he has nothing to show for any of them.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Then that's a whole other conversation that you need to have with him. But at the end of the day, I think that he's like, if I lost my job tomorrow, you better damn well believe that I would be going and checking in with every single one of my connections until I made a job, because we can't afford for me to be out of work for too long before it's going to become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be pounding the pavement. Some of you millennials don't know what that that saying means, but I would be essentially
pounding the internet.
I would be pounding the pavement trying to make sure that I hurried up and found another job, because I would have to. There's no two options for me. We would have to make it happen that way. There's no two ways about it. Like, we would absolutely have to pick up. Like, we would have to have another job. We would have to have another option. And so I think that we are making, what is the saying, a big to-do about nothing? Like, I think this man is just trying to find another job. And I think you're writing in, and I think you have every right to be concerned as a partner. But I think that at the end of the day, like, you need to talk to your partner and let him tell you what's going on and how he's feeling and where he's at with everything. And let him fucking find another job. Like, he needs to find another job. I mean, unless you're making more than enough money, in which case he doesn't have to find another job, and you need to have a conversation about him being a stay-at-home daddy or whatever. But, like, you need to have that conversation. Like, why are we, like, busting his balls for finding a job? You would be writing in a letter later if he wasn't looking for a job because he was sitting on the couch watching Judge Judy and eating Cheerios all day, and you would be mad. So, like, stop being mad about what you have going on. Like, be happy.
Mike and Glenn, we wish you the best of luck. And Mike, I think Marco has given you some really great advice about, you know, taking a half a dose of a chill pill and just communicating.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. The next one. Hello, Critelli men. My name is William, and I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm already a huge fan of you, William.
Thanks.
I'm married to a wonderful guy, Jacob, and we are starting the process of adopting a child. Now that the dream is beginning to become a reality, something that I've noticed about Jacob has me concerned. He's always been a hard worker, but his job is very stressful. Lately, he's been working even longer hours, and when he comes home, he's either tired, only interested in decompressing, or he's outright grumpy. I've noticed it's gotten worse as he's gotten older. I'm worried that this might be the type of relationship that he has with our child. Should I talk to him about this? What do you guys think?
Well, yes, I think you should definitely talk to him about it.
Going back to the aforementioned advice, communication being key, yes?
Yeah, I think, I don't know your partner, so I can't, like, spill the situation, but what I can say is, and it's kind of a conversation that Tony and I have had, like, we don't have children, so they're, like, right now, so it's really hard for me to put myself in a state of mind, like, it's really hard for me to save the money to have children when we don't have children, and we don't really have any plans to have children any, like, super time soon, so, like, of course I'm gonna buy the pants that I wanna buy, because, like, I don't have to spend it on diapers or formula or, you know, or anything of that nature. Like, it's kind of hard to put me in that mindset. I say all that to say that, like, maybe he is just working hard and doing those things because that's what he is programmed to do at this point. But when he has children or has the child, and the child comes in, his whole demeanor, his whole being, his whole reason for living will change. There are certain things that will no longer become important. He will want to get off of work early so that he can be home with you and the child. And he'll want to come in a happier mood because the child is there and is excited to see him, and he'll have a good time with him. And I would just talk to him and tell him that, like, those are your concerns. That's where you're at with everything. And you're hoping that things change a little bit. But you can't help but notice what's going on right now. And what can you do to help make him feel like he's in a better mood when he comes home, or that he has better things to think about when he comes home, so that you can feel a little bit more happy and or secure in the decision that you guys made to bring home a child in this whole situation? Like, those things are important. But this is, like, the same thing that you and I had a talk about where, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about, like, the amount of alcohol that we consume. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think it's, like, a lot. It's a lot more than I think I'm comfortable with. And then I said to you, I said, but here's the thing. I kind of understand why it is the way it is, because, like, we don't have kids. Like, we don't have anything. We're dinks, right? Like, that's dual income, no kids. Like, we don't have any reason to, like, not have a cocktail or not hang out and sit around and go out to dinner or go hang out at the bar or sit on our asses and watch you. Like, why? Like, we just don't have any reason not to do that. So it makes it super challenging to put yourself in a mindset in which you want to clear the bar and not have any of that stuff lying around because you don't want a kid to see you doing it when you don't have a fucking kid around. Like, you don't have a kid around. Like, it's, like, really challenging to do that. So, yes, of course he's going to work longer hours because he's probably stockpiling and trying to make sure that everything is taken care of because he knows that this child is coming around. And he's probably grumpy because he's tired and he's stressed because he knows that this kid is getting ready to come around. And he's a little, like, hot under the collar for it. So just give him some grace and let it be known that, like, you're a little concerned. But just have a conversation with him.
I want to echo everything Marco just said because I think it's spot on. And I want to add that the relationship that Jacob has with William is one relationship that Jacob has. And the other relationships that Jacob has may be very different. And that is based on years of history, dynamic, chemistry.
Constipation,
perspiration, aspiration. All the Asians.
Asians.
Yes, Asians, not Asians. Yes. Yeah. I'm white. I suppose I have to say I'm not racist.
I mean, you married a black man, but
that's not a thing. That doesn't preclude me from being racist. Mm-hmm. See, I'm a little woke. So Jacob,
you still got boogers in your eyes.
I said a little woke. I haven't cooked breakfast yet. Jacob could have and will have a completely different relationship with your/his child. And that is just going to be the fact. There are plenty of people who you see them and they're like these amazing fathers or these like totally giving volunteers, but when you interact with them in other social situations, they are total assholes. And you're like,
oh my god, I've been in a room with those people before.
I can think of three right now. And it's like, how is this possible? But it is. So I think the stress management, I think the grumpiness, I think those are, I'm going to flip roles for a minute here.
Constipation.
And right, the perspiration and the constipation. I'm going to reverse roles from our last letter, and I'm going to say, now I think you might be projecting a little bit. So is he tired and only interested in decompressing, and that bothers you because it speaks about your connection? And is he grumpy because that speaks about the lack of fun you all are having? So are you concerned that he's not going to have a good relationship with the child, or are you concerned that he's going to have a great relationship with the child, and what does that say about your relationship together? And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, I'm just saying there's an opportunity for something to work
on. Shit's getting ready to change, so you both just have to be super aware of what that looks like.
And have fun with figuring it out together. We always forget that.
Sure.
Just have some fun with it.
Sure.
Be like, dude, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
And just laugh about it and talk about it however you can. I mean, that's how Marco and I do it, but that's probably not the way everyone does it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Last one. Hello, relationship. My name is Kyle, and I live in Boulder, Colorado. I've been dating this guy, Jacob, for about 10 months now. He's funny, and we have a great time going out, and the sex is really good. But sometimes he disappears on me, like for a few weeks at a time. I've tried to get him to tell me where he's going and what he's doing, but he says that sometimes he just needs space.
Break up with him.
I'm not done! But I feel the same way. I've told him that space is fine, but I'd like at least a text. He reminds me that we aren't in a committed relationship and that when we become boyfriends, he would do that for me. But when I try to talk to him about getting serious, he gets upset and says I'm rushing him. I feel stuck. A sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I listen to your show every week, and you guys give good advice. What do you think I should do?
Break up with him.
End the
whole situation. Like, if this is not what you want, then by all means, like, leave. You guys are not committed to one another. There is plenty of good dick out there, so you can definitely
or ask, depending on, you know,
yeah,
or
whatever both. You want, or both, like, whatever.
Whatever.
And, like, you don't need to be with this person. If this person is not filling your cup, then he can go somewhere else. Like, go be somebody else's problem. Like, I don't understand. Oh my god, Tony and I just literally had this whole ass conversation about this before we even began recording this. Like,
because someone else is going through this.
Well, I just don't understand why the bar is set so fucking low for for mediocrity. Like, why is it set so low? Like, all I need for you to do is, like, stay in communication with me because, like, I need you to not, like, vanish for 2 to 3 weeks at a time without letting me know. And it's too much for me to ask for you to, like, text me or let me know you're alive and not come around when you're just ready to have sex with me? Like, can you do that for me?
Or to get some other need fulfilled.
And we're okay with supplying these basic ass, no good ass, not worth being around ass men. And we need to stop doing that to ourselves, you guys. Like, stop doing that. Like, we deserve so much better than that. These men are fuckboys. They're behaving in fuckboy nature. Like, and we need to stop doing that. He is not worth your time. You could be spending so much more worthy time on somebody else that is deserving of your time. Somebody that would love to text message you, somebody that would love to hang out with you, someone who would love to lick your butt. And you don't have to worry about these guys that, like, are not giving you what you want. Why are you waiting? Like, why are we waiting around for them? What is this? Why do we do this to ourselves?
It's a learning curve, I think. I just think it is. But here's the thing. You said 10 months. That is long enough to know whether you want to be together.
If he's not making a commitment after 10 months, then
he's not making any commitment, period.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. You said something that really struck me. He said sometimes he just needs space. And that's fine. And I don't believe in keeping a scorecard. But I do believe in occasionally checking on the balance and seeing where it lies. And I bet that if you look at how many times you've given him his needed space and how many times he's given you your needed contact, it would be extremely off balance. That's a problem.
But my question is, space from what? Space from what? We're not committed. We're not living together. How much fucking space do you need? Like, we've put distance between us. Like, needing space is like one of, like, as, like, look, and as somebody who is, like, married and lives with their husband and things like that, like, I've kind of foregone my space at this point in time. Like, we don't really have, there's no such thing as space. We're up under each other all the time at this point. So, like, space for us is like, I'm going to dinner with my friends. Ah, I have a solid 2 hours by myself. And it's, like, really cool. Like, that's space. And you take advantage of it when it comes. But, like, needing to get away for 2 weeks, first of all, you guys are not even committed. There's not a commitment. You're not living together. So what do you need space from? Like, what? Like, you have space all the time. Like,
well, and in this particular situation, I would say that when you're giving him space, he is filling some space.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
100%. Mm-hmm. So I would say end things. It's not even worth having a conversation. He's not giving you, I wouldn't even have the conversation.
I'm gonna disagree just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say, tell him that you, what you need, and that if he can't give it to you, that's okay, but you're going to end things. I would have the conversation with him. I would give him the opportunity to step up, because then at least you know that you did and he didn't.
We had this conversation before. I do not feel it necessary to explain myself to you and plead my case. Mm-hmm. If you can't understand that I need you to be around, and can't apologize and can't step up to the plate because you haven't done it in the past 10 mm-hmm, months, mm-hmm. then me explaining it to you is not going to make a single bit of difference. You clearly don't care about anybody but yourself, and that's completely fine by me. It's not worth the conversation. So I'm of the theory that, like, you already told me where we're at with everything. Thanks for the dick. See you later.
Or the butt, or both.
Or the butt, or both, or whatever. We're good. Thanks for the memories. Like, it's all good.
And I would just say that based on some of the language that you're saying about how you're not boyfriends, but if you were committed, he would blah, blah, blah. I would still just give that opportunity. That's just me. I would just give that opportunity. But I would go into that conversation knowing it might be the last.
Look, it's always healthy to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's always healthy to talk. I will always advocate for talking. Mm-hmm. But I will just say that the good news is that you guys did not make a commitment with one another, which he made very clear.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't owe him anything. A conversation would be a gift. Like, that is you being kind in the situation. You don't owe him anything.
I would just say that you owe it to yourself.
Sure, but you know what time it is. Like, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, you know what's going on. Like, you're fully aware of the fucking situation. So, like, you've already figured it all out in your head. So, like, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I can have this conversation, but, like, what am I going to gain from it? If you feel like you're going to gain something from having it, by all means, have the conversation. Have it. Do it. It's necessary. It's always good to talk. But if you don't feel like you're going to actually gain anything from it, then be like, again, thanks for clapping these cheeks. We're done.
And on that note, which I think was a low D.
I don't know. I'm being funny tonight.
Maybe an A minor.
Yeah, right. I'm being funny tonight.
That's going to conclude this month's Situations.
Mm-hmm. Tune into our IGTV
oh, good. It wasn't just
series
me.
Relationship for the next listener situation. You guys, we recorded another one and you guys are going to fucking love it. We have more relationship content on our Patreon, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on all of the social medias, and on YouTube. So make sure you check us out there, please.
And our website.
And on our website.
So many places.
Yeah, so many places. You can get a lot of Critellis all the time. It's great. I love it. So make sure you do that. We'll see you guys soon. We are going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit.
TTFN.
Hello, listeners. As you may have heard, Tony and I have a weekly after show on IGTV called Relationship.
Get it? Relationship? Relationship? What?
Nothing. Keep going.
Okay. Every week, Marco and I will talk about the podcast topic, the things we learned, and the way to use it in our relationship day to day.
Yep. Our goal is to put a face to the topics and our message, as well as give you some extra relationship content and guidance.
So make sure you're following us on Instagram. We are at PodRelationship.
And tune in every Wednesday.
After you've listened to the episode.
Yes, on IGTV for our weekly after show, Relationship.
Comment, like it, tell your friends.
All support is greatly appreciated.
We look forward to having you see us there.
Bye.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this super important conversation.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PodRelationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us. And tell all your friends.
If you have any situations or comments that you'd like us to address on the show, you can email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or submit on our website, podrelationship.com.
And don't forget to check out our IGTV channel, Relationship, for a behind-the-scenes post-show conversation about this week's episode.
A special thank you to our Patreon members. We hope you enjoyed the early access to the episode and behind-the-scenes interview with this week's guests. Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember that negativity is seriously toxic shit. Hey folks, it's your favorite hosts, Tony
and Marco.
We need to ask a favor. Please stop what you're doing this very moment and head to your favorite podcast directory and rate and review Relationship.
We know. It's a big ask, but we need your help in getting the word out about the podcast, and your reviews are the best ways to make that happen.
So if you have 2 minutes, please go and give us a 5-star rating.
Then write a review and tell everyone about how much you love our voices.
Or how we're your favorite hosts.
Or that this really important conversation is helping you along the way.
Just a few ideas, you know, in case you get writer's block.
Anyways, we appreciate your help and thank you for the support. Your participation will only make Relationship better.
We love all of you.
Thanks.